Good morning. How are you? Are you well? It is incredibly wonderful to be with you. Always good. I am always excited and expectant when I share the Word of God, when I share the truth that God speaks from His Word, and I am always trying to, with diligence, make sure that it is the Word of God and not my Word. But it is always exciting because there's always an opportunity for God to do something in our lives, friends. And I trust that every time we get together, it doesn't matter. You know why we don't advertise who's preaching every Sunday? Because it doesn't matter who's preaching every Sunday, as long as the Word of God is preached. Because the Word of God is alive and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. And if we will let Him, if we will let the surgeon into our hearts, He will do work. If we will let the comforter into our hearts, He will comfort us. If we will let the good shepherd into our hearts, He will shepherd us. If we will let the healer into our lives, He'll heal us. But somehow we have a resistance to those things, and we kind of, and moments of worship and moments of testimony, they kind of moments in our lives where the walls come down and we have this little patch where we can find God for a moment. And all it takes is a moment in God, friends, to change your life. Because once it gets in, you can't get it out again. It's like it gets in and starts to work and starts to wrestle with you. And I'm part of an R group and meeting with some men. And this week, one of the men told his story. And this man, all his life has run away from things. Run away from here, run away from there, run away. And every time he's had a bad family experience. So family for him is not a good word. And so he just runs. And he's been coming to Glenridge since, I don't know, 2015. But every time he slowly starts to get knitted, he runs. Finds an excuse to run. Makes up an excuse to run. And he told his story, and he said this. He said suddenly he realized that he'd been at Glenridge for 2.5 years and hadn't run. And he thought, flip, Lord, that's amazing. It's the longest I've ever been in one place and not run. So what you do is you make up an offense. They thinking this, the way you said that, the tone you said that, and make an excuse and you duck. Wow, I wasn't greeted, and this and that. Yeah. And he felt God say to him, it's very good for you to wrestle with me, my boy, but don't ever run away from me. Basically, it's okay. God says, actually, it's okay, wrestle with me, like Jacob did. Wrestle with me. Wrestle with me, but never reject me. Like Jacob did, he clung on. He said, I will not let you go until you give me more of yourself. Friends, we've got to let the Word of God wrestle in our hearts, because that's what produces fruitful living. That's what produces the life of God in us. And if we will not wrestle with God, you know, when we're grieving and mourning, it's part of wrestling with God, because we don't understand. It's not fair. This week, we had to let Ken and Curvis go. Ken and Laura have been part of this church for 30 odd years. And Ken started getting sick, had a bit of dementia, and so they kind of haven't been really coming to church since 2019. But it's been an absolutely very difficult walk for Laura. And finally, on Sunday night, with all his family in the room, surrounded by love, a man of great love, a man who will be known for his love, went to be with Jesus. The family's wrestling now. Wrestling. Lord, so hard. so difficult. Why didn't you heal him, Lord? Other friends of ours lost a daughter, young daughter, 5 years old. Ken and Laura have been married for 68 years. Over 90 years old. You think, okay, Lord, it's his time. But a 5-year old? Lord, that's not fair. That's not right. Don't get religious with Jesus. Don't get religious with God. Get real with him and wrestle with him. The Psalms are full of people wrestling with God, shaking their fists, shouting at God sometimes, Lord, where are you? What are you doing? I don't understand. And God meeting them in their wrestle and steadying them in their wrestle and looking them square in the face in the midst of their wrestle and them seeing them back again. And many of the Psalms, except for one Psalm, all the Psalms end with, Lord, you are faithful and you are good. I don't understand, but I know you are good. It's the wrestle of this life. It's the wrestle. Wrestle with God, but never reject him. Don't run from him. As soon as we run from him and as soon as we reject him, we get cut off from the source of life. We harden our hearts and we turn to other things, turn to counterfeit things for life, and they never satisfy. This morning I've prepared a whole preach on fruitful living from 1 Peter. But during this time of worship, and I just felt, hey Lord, I felt God speak to me, just talk about the valley and the fruitfulness that comes from the valley from Psalm 23. I haven't thought of this or spoken about this for a long time now. But if you can turn in your Bible, sorry Megan, I haven't prepared the guys for this, but Psalm 23. I want to read it and I want to make a couple of comments. Remember, friends, when people are grieving, don't try and tell them what God is doing. They don't care. Just tell them you love them. Don't even tell them God loves them. They don't believe it right now. It doesn't feel like it. You just love them. Not giving them solutions. They're getting angry. They're going to start blaming you, and you're going to be the problem, and it's going to be all these sorts of things. You just be there, and you love them, and you serve them as best as they know how. And when they start to emerge out of that wrestle, and they start to wrestle, and they start to accept, and then they will emerge, and they'll start to walk through the process. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul. He guides me along paths, the right paths, for his name's sake. Isn't that amazing? He takes you down the right paths for his name's sake, not yours and my name's sake. That's cool. So it's his glory that he leads us well. It's for his name's sake, it's for his glory, it's for his purpose that he leads us and guides us well. Got to trust in the shepherd's guiding and leading. It's his name on the stake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The wonderful fruitfulness of that passage is the quietness of a lying down sheep. And I love those last few verses where he talks about goodness and love following you all the days of your life. And I will dwell in the house. So finding the presence of God and goodness and love following us. How often, as believers, we are trying to find the goodness and love of God. We are chasing the goodness and love of God. But he says, yeah, God does something in our lives where goodness and love follow us. They hunt us down. And his dwelling, there's this place where his presence dwells. And you find the dwelling place of God. You find a place and a rest in the presence of God. That, friends, is a recipe for fruitful living. When God can make that adjustment in our lives, where we believe goodness is following us and his love is following us, even if we don't feel it and even if we can't see it and even if things are tough, and that his presence is with us, even if I can't experience it, even if I can't feel it, and even if things are not going well, it's a recipe for fruitfulness, friends. Because wherever the presence of God is, there's life. Wherever the presence of God is, there's goodness. Wherever the presence of God is, there's love. And it's pursuing us and hunting us down. According to this psalm of the Good Shepherd, the difficulty is that he's got to make us lie down. We've got to learn to lie down. We've got to learn to lie down. He makes us lie down. And I've said this before, but a dog can be trained to lie down. A sheep can't. A sheep is too dumb to lie down, to be trained to lie down. The only way a sheep lies down, when they have plenty to eat and their thirst is being quenched. The only way a sheep lies down is when everything around them, they feel safe and they are satisfied. Where grass is abundant, water is abundant, and there's safety, sheep lie down. So he says, Psalm starts off by saying, the good shepherd makes us lie down, and he gives us lots to eat, he gives us safety, and he gives us a place where we can find rest in him. We're just a little bit too clever, or cleverer than sheep. Sheep automatically do that. We don't. We've got to choose to do that because we're made in the image of God. We have the power of choice because he loves us. So when you find Jesus, we find rest. When you find Jesus, we find an abundance of refreshing. When you find Jesus, we find safety in our soul. And when we find that, we can rest, we can lie down. That's what the Good Shepherd promises us. He promises us rest. And he leads us, and he refreshes us, and he guides us. And even though you walk through a valley of death, even though you walk through darkness. And can I say, friends, every single person on this planet walks through darkness. The most successful person that you think you would love to be has walked through much darkness. In fact, I don't think you can get to success without darkness. I'm not talking about the devil darkness, but walking through moments of darkness where the valley is around you and you think, am I going to make it? And he promises you, the good shepherd, that though you walk through that valley, you don't have to fear. Because you're with him. You see, one of the things that the valley teaches us, the darkness teaches us, is that God's with you. You know that thing, that valley, friends, that dark moment in our life, that dark place of the soul, that kind of thing that you wrestle through, and sometimes it's a day, and sometimes it's a week, and sometimes it's a few months, sometimes it's a couple of years. You cannot shorten whatever that time is. You've got to walk through it. God knows what he's doing. You cannot avoid it. We do everything to avoid the darkness, the hard time, the valley moment, because we don't like pain. We don't like suffering. And you think, God, where are you? I'm going through so much. I'm with you. Learn to rest in me. Learn to let me nourish you in the midst of that valley. You cannot bypass it. You cannot avoid it. There's no magical bullet. And what we do, friends, is we find, trying to find the silver bullet, the moment, the thing, the event, the word, the person, that if they can just lay hands on us, God, they will deliver us. Friends, the good shepherd delivers us, not people. There's no silver bullet to avoid this moment, this period, whatever that period looks like for us. You can't shorten it. The only way forward, the only way is through and forward. Don't look back. Don't look back and say, only if. If only I didn't do this. If only should, could, should have, could have. You look forward and you keep walking with him, the good shepherd. You learn the lesson that though I can't see goodness and love in front of me, it's following me. That lesson is learnt in the dark place, friends. I want to tell you, the goodness of the shepherd is teaching his church. The valley is not the destination. That's what the enemy comes and says. Your whole life is going to be a valley from here on out. No, it's not. It's a section. It's a portion. Jesus doesn't take you into a valley. He takes you through a valley. And he's teaching us. He's learning. We're learning with him. I keep saying part of this fruitful thing is God dealing with our hearts. He wants to get into the bottom 10 or 20% of our hearts, not the top 10 or 20 that we show the world like an iceberg. Half of that, most of that 10 or 20% that we show the world, it's fluff. It's not real. It's masks. It's what we think people want to see of us. The real stuff is down below. And in the valley, all comes out. God deals with us. Sheep. We sheep. We pass through the valley. We don't dwell in the valley. We don't settle in the valley. We've got a hope and a trust that God, you're going to take us through. And on the other side of this is what you've called me to. You don't get despondent. That's why we need community and we need friends to help us through the valley, friends. Because our head drops and then all we can see is darkness. And we look around darkness, look around darkness, look around darkness. All you can see is darkness. You need somebody to help you and say, come this way. There isn't just darkness. Don't think you can walk this life. That's why he calls us sheep. We need to be in a flock. Just follow the sheep. Eventually get through the darkness. Follow the shepherd along with the sheep. He's got a rod and a staff in his hand. He's fighting on our behalf, but he's also guiding us and nurturing us. He's got weapons that he uses to fight for us in the midst of the valley. Don't have to fight in the beauty of the pastures, but it's in the valley, it's in the dark places where the enemy is. That's when you fight, and he uses his rod and his staff on our behalf. He has them, not us. You keep following him. We keep walking with him. We don't give up. Your rod and your staff comfort me. They whip me into shape sometimes, but they're also just something I hold on to and just, Lord, just lead me, Lord. And if we won't take hold of it, you're going this way? Okay. We do one of those. Friends, God wants us to know this truth, to be fruitful in everything we do. Goodness and love are following us all of our lives in the gospel. And we are the dwelling place of God. He wants us to know he is with us. But must I tell you one of the things that he desperately wants to do, and he teaches us in the midst of a valley. You think, well, Lord, actually what you'll do is you'll just set up like a fort or something. You'll like kind of hem us in and or quickly just like run us through, get us like running. I don't know. I mean, what would you do if you were in a dark place? You kind of get going there quickly. He doesn't rush. God's not in a rush, friends. We're in a rush. You know what he does? He whips out a table. Tablecloth. Puts oil. Puts a glass of wine on it. Jesus, you know that I'm in the valley. I don't need food. I need to get out of here. The good shepherd looks at us and says, no, my boy, my girl. The point is this. Come and sit with me. Come and sit with me. In the midst of all this darkness, in the midst of your enemies, in the midst of all that's going on, that's going wrong, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of death, in the midst of loss, in the midst of this, I want you to sit with me. And it's like he sits down at the table first and invites us to the table. Like he's not worried. If he's not worried, we shouldn't be. When he gets worried, we should be very worried. But he's never worried, fortunately. He sits at the table. He pours a glass of wine. But he doesn't just pour a glass of wine. He pours it so that it just runs all over the table. And he says to you, listen, what I have for you is so abundant and so profound, can't be contained. And he takes his oil and he just pours it all over your head. He says, I want you to know that you are profoundly, profoundly, uniquely created by me for purpose, for my use. Consecrated, made holy by me. I don't care how you got into this darkness. The way out of it is with me. And you sit there feeling a bit tipsy because you're drinking. Suddenly you're just wet with oil. And you're thinking, God, is this you? Can this be you? Is this what you think of me? Are you that good? Is this how much you love me? That you'll be with me in the midst of my darkest moment? Yes, Dan. See, I'm trying to teach you. Goodness. My goodness and my love and my presence follow you. Stop chasing it. To live fruitful lives, friends, we've got to know this. The goodness of God and the love of God follows you all the days of your life. all of that happens in the valley. It can be a valley of health, it can be a valley of financial desperation, it can be a valley of relational brokenness, it can be a valley of abuse, it can be a valley of divorce, it can be a valley of adultery that you committed. Listen to me. You can be a valley of adultery that you committed. Whatever the valley is, you're sitting at the table saying, come and sit with me and have some wine. Thousands of years later, the Son of God would hang on a cross and would teach us to drink the wine whenever we sit down. To remind us, one of the things that reminds us is of this picture, of the good shepherd that's for us, that follows us with his love and goodness. And he releases the Holy Spirit over us as a people to empower us and strengthen us so that his presence stays with us always, so that we can live fruitful lives. Right where you are, can you just close your eyes? And you just kind of just be alone with God. Father, I know, Lord God, that there are people in this room walking through the valley of unemployment and the indignity of not having a job and providing for their family. People that are walking through the valley of brokenness. Walking through the valley that they've kind of walked themselves into because of bad decisions even, Lord. Father, you want to teach us how to make good decisions around the table with a glass of wine and an anointing bottle, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that even as this morning, the testimony of Julia was to open our ears. Even as this morning, we felt, Father, to trust you for healing, physical healing, emotional healing. It was a table moment, Lord, where the anointing can come and flow because of the blood of Jesus, because of the wine. I pray, Lord God, help us, Jesus. Break religious thinking off of us, Lord God. Break performance off of us, Lord God. Help us to understand you love us, Lord. Help us to understand you are good and your purposes are good, not just for you, but for us. And that your goodness and love follow us all the days of our lives. We don't have to wonder if you're with us. You are. I pray for those that are in a valley of mourning right now, Lord, and grief. Be with them, Lord. Comfort them. Comfort them with the rod and the staff. Walk them through it, Lord. Lead them through it, Lord. Guide us through it, Lord. Help us to find rest, Lord. Help us to find rest, Lord. Just rest. I thank you for all these things in your amazing, amazing name. You are good. You are powerful. You are present. And you are for us, Lord, not against us. Pray, Father, that that would become revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation break into our hearts, that we would know you better. Thank you for that in your amazing, amazing name, Lord. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from temptation. We bless you and we honor you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Bless you.